The podcast you're about to hear is a comedy show intended for an adult audience, and it contains explicit language. All opinions are our own, and we may sometimes go on tangents that are not at all about figure skating. Strap in, enjoy, and remember, our safe word is Quad Sal. Let's go. Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm alive.
That's great. That's the best thing you could be.
Yeah, which is enough, and I'll take it. Hi, dear listener. Welcome to this very weird episode. I'm just going to get right ahead of comments and everything and say, yes, this is a weird episode. We are combining two events. And that's my fault. I got a cold and it wasn't a big deal. And I was testing negative for absolutely everything, but I was just coughing a lot and I didn't want to put Megan through that auditory nightmare. So we had to postpone and I'm counting. I have a little tracker here how many minutes it takes me until I start coughing again. Let's hope it's not right away. And let's talk about skating. I'm excited to have my voice back and to be using it for skating purposes.
I will say also, like, having survived this, both, like, I think our podcast and our like auditory relationship has survived like the worst part of COVID when you got like the very first gnarliest strain.
Yep.
And therefore I could edit around any cough ever. I am the master now. Like I've been put through it and like there's nothing you could throw at me, like bomb versus coughing Netta.
Oh no, is that the title of this episode? Let's find out.
The day is young.
Yeah, see, we made me laugh and now it's happening again. So we got to talk about NHK and we got to talk about Skate America, which is already weird because, once again, we're almost at the end of the Grand Prix series. And I cannot stress this enough. It should not be happening in this order. It feels weird and it feels like it's been scrambled and like pulled out of a hat. And I don't like it.
It's really, really messing me up. I feel like I'm in a strange nightmare. But you know what was not a strange nightmare was NHK, actually.
I always love NHK. And this was a great, great time for genuinely everyone involved. I think we got to see people kind of settling into this not being the very start of the season and of the Grand Prix series. And I was quite happy with both of our podiums. By both, I mean men and women, because that's what we care about here. I do have, as per always, comments and feelings about the disciplines that we don't talk about, but that's, find me on the internet, ask me about it, that's separate. Do you want to talk about women?
I do, and can I just say, because it wouldn't be this show unless I started with something completely unrelated, but I promise this is short. Can I just have a little, like, this grinds my gears corner? Like,
please Peter go Griffin. Ahead.
Yeah, I am from Rhode Island, so perfect. It really, and this is so stupid, and it doesn't matter at all, but it just annoys the shit out of me, is that earlier this year, there was a competition called the Kenoshita Group Cup, and it was a cup that was sponsored by the Kenoshita Group, which is a business in Japan. It is the Kenoshita Group, okay? That's the business, and then their cup was the Kenoshita Group Cup. Now, I don't know why this bothers me so much, but every announcer and everyone who talks about it has been calling it the Kenoshita Group Cup. Like, it was a group cup, and you participated as a group, and it was sponsored by Kenoshita. And it's like, why are we emphasizing it like that? That's like saying it was, like, the Cranberry Cup, or, like, the Ristella Com Trophy. What are you fucking talking about? Like, it drives me insane. And it's like, and it's not like we don't know, because every Japanese thing is sponsored by a thing in the rink. There's like a sign on the boards that says Kenoshita Group. So it's like we can know that is what it's called. And I don't know. I don't know why it's driving me insane. Because every single time I'm like, what's a group cup? Like, what is it? The team event?
I don't know. The team event, yeah.
Yeah,
so let's talk about the NHK trophy.
The
women.
The NHK trophy. K-Trophy Team and Hunters. I don't know. That's nothing.
Hey, listen, this event was not nothing because we got to see the triumphant return of my European club princess, Luna Hendricks, who not only came back from having had like ankle surgery and just being put through the fucking ringer. She got bronze, and I'm so happy.
I feel personally responsible for this because of the time after Montreal Worlds where she walked right by me and I told her she was beautiful.
No, and you fixed her. Luna was fourth in the short, which was already a great showing for, again, her return to competition, like to this level of like the Grand Prix. And then she was second in the free, and the math worked out in a mathy way where this means that she got bronze. And I know I've seen people on the internet be kind of upset that she's not taking us to the club as much as she usually does. But I think I kind of vibe with, I like her package.
Yeah, I think that there's different modes that Luna can be in terms of packaging.
Yeah.
And I feel like we could do, there's like all club bangers, and then like sometimes there's like a softer, more like, not classical thing, but like a more pretty,
lyrical.
Like dramatic, lyrical is the word, thank you. Like a more lyrical contemporary type vibe. And I do think that that's kind of what she's bringing with, I forget, is it the short or the free? It's like she's doing...
Both. I mean, her free is La Alegría and her short is Ashes.
So I was thinking of the Ashes program as a little bit more lyrical and a little, and then the Alegría is a little more like there's, it starts little lyrical and then goes into like dance club, right?
Yeah, it does have dance club in it.
Yeah, so it's not totally unfamiliar. I was really pleased to see her back, and I know, I don't know, I guess more so than the skating with her, I think that I root for the longevity and,
yeah.
You know, she was, you know, saying that she has been dealing with not just like the physical aspects of staying fit and having longevity, but the mental aspects. And I like that we're talking about that more. I think what's coming to mind for me is Evelotta Kibbes recently retired.
Oh, can we have a second? I love her so much, and I'm so proud of her for like making smart, healthy choices for herself and her career and everything. But I'm gonna miss her.
But I will too, and I really appreciate that in her retirement post on Instagram, she, and for those of you who are really new, she was like the Estonian queen before Nina Petrokina, and I don't think she ever did quite as well, but she was like one of those girls, back when the age limit was different, she was like kind of doing juniors and seniors at the same time and really like burst onto the scene and then kind of like didn't have as easy time after that, but she was one of the early
Benoit
girls.
Which is also kind of, it also kind of contributed to Nina's rise as well, because it kind of, Nina becoming incredible kind of overlapped with Evelotta getting injured and like starting that struggle.
And the pandemic was a bad kind of, so this pandemic hit certain careers harder than others, I think, in terms of the timing. And I think that was part of it for her too. But what I really appreciated is that Evelotta wrote about burnout in her in her post. And you don't hear about that a lot from athletes, at least not in figure skating. And I really appreciated that because I get burnt out really easily based on like nothing. And certainly from just having a normal person job and a normal person life. And I was really thinking about the schedule of skaters and how it's like...
It's crazy.
It's crazy. It's like a school schedule, right? It's kind of like fall to spring, right? And we've all gotten school burnout, you know?
God, yeah.
And then the summer, they're training, they're learning new choreography, and a lot of them are traveling and working to get money and doing the shows and touring. And I find traveling really exhausting, and they have to travel constantly all year. And so... I think that would really burn me out a lot, and the fact that they never get to stop their entire career. I don't know how they do it. And the fact that she would acknowledge that, and that she would say, you know, mentally to do, like, you have to be mentally in it in such a way to do as well as I want to do. And I don't want to do it half-assed. And I know I can't be like, that was so real to me because I don't know, just I really related to the feeling of like, you could half-ass something, but I don't want to half-ass something. And if I'm too burnt out to give it my all, then I'm going to wait or like take a step
it's
back.
It's that
like,
black and white thinking. I suffer with it very, very much all the time because, okay, since we're going on tangents, I'm currently making a dress for my current, my upcoming figure skating competition. And I've been struggling with it. I don't know why. It's just not been going well. Sometimes fabric doesn't cooperate with you. And today, for a minute, I thought I was going to buy a leotard and build on top of it. And even while that was happening, I was like, I am cheating. I will not be able to say that I've made my dress if I help myself and like get, you know, a part of it pre-made and then keep working on it. And it's like, it's such a silly example, but it's very much that mentality of like, I can either go balls to the wall and like really, really commit to like every single bit of this, or I might as well not do it. And I don't, it's exhausting. Living like that is exhausting. And I can't fucking imagine doing it to the level of an Olympic skater, an Olympic level skater. It's crazy.
But with respect to Luna, I think that's what came to mind for me. You know what I mean? There's this idea of like mental longevity is
and
hard.
I do want to say, to the point of her vibes this semester. See, it is a school year. the vibes this season, Ashes especially, as I always think of the short program as kind of the intro to the journey that we're taking with a skater in the season.
Yes, it's an appetizer.
Appetizer, and then we can develop from there. I think it makes sense because, like, the whole song is like, let beauty come out of the ashes, like all of that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's such a nice comeback to be like Phoenix-like and do that whole thing and kind of like talk about rebuilding. Even if it is a little bit on the nose or like whatever, I feel like this makes a lot more sense as a return than just like coming in and being like 365 party girl, Brad Green, Olympic ice, let's go. Like I think this makes more sense.
And if you really listen to Brat, you will know that the message of it is that even 365 party girls have feelings. So that happened and we're really happy for her. And she has like a very, very outside shot at the final. Probably not going to happen, but like she's technically not out of it as of, you know, the afternoon of Thursday, November 20th. So
here's hoping. I don't know.
Yeah, she could be an alternate. I mean, we don't know.
Very many things can happen. And speaking of very many things happening, Sofia Samodelkina of Kazakhstan, Sofia Samodelkina, if we're trying to do the, you know, correct pronunciations of everything, she got silver, which was awesome. And before we even talk about that, let's just cut to the chase and say that she doesn't stand a chance at the final because she was meant to skate this week in Finlandia and that's not happening. And that sucks.
Yeah, so she's kind of the, like, Kevin Amos and Selevko of the women in terms of just being there to, like, shake things up and then leave.
Yeah.
I don't know how to talk about her because I feel like there's a lot of different things going on. And I don't know what to say because if I were to just view this, like, I have no idea who she is or what the sport of skating is, and I'm just looking at her skating, I like it. I think I like it. I think she's good at it, and it's nice. And I think she got scores that were high,
acceptable.
but not like, insanely high for what she did. I think that it's always like, oh, you know, when a skater very, you know, deliberately transfers over from Russia for the express purpose of getting around the ban, it's like, I don't know. But then it's like, you know, a female skater coming over so that they can have more of a career and have that longevity we were talking about and have, you know what I mean? And overcome the traditional arc of like peaking really, really, really soon, which she was, you know, a really tiny little star. And then, you know, getting to have the second shot, that's really nice. But then also I'm hearing that she's like into Trump or something.
Yeah, no, she wore a MAGA hat on a live stream and then she claimed that she had no idea what it was, which...
Which,
come on, like, she trains in the U.S. Like, there is very little. I do want to say...
How would you get one? Like, it's not like they just show up in people's
houses. Like, borrowed it and didn't know what she was borrowed. It's bullshit. The whole thing is bullshit.
From who?
She is... I don't... Torgashev. I don't know. she is 18 years old, so I feel fine enough to judge her as an adult and be like, you have been on the internet your entire life, you know what's happening. Like, please, like, we're not silly enough to just buy this. Before we judge her super harshly and treat her like the Russian skater that she is, I do want to say that her mom is Kazakh, so it's not like entirely like...
No, of course.
It's not one of those like, oh yeah, well, I had a great grandpa who was actually from Cyprus, so I'm gonna go be a Cypriot skater now. Like, it's not one of those.
Not Cypriot grandpa.
That being said, still fucking sucks. Like, it's still bad.
Yeah. And it's like, I was thinking about this in the context of like, remember when Evgenia Medvedeva left Kateri and we were all like really excited about it because we were like, wow, she's escaped and finally she gets to have this like amazing career. And I try to measure like...
God, we were so young, so hopeful.
I know. Well, and I try to measure sort of my opinion of Russian skaters leaving Russia around, like, against that of, like, is there a narrative there that's similar to that that I can be excited about? And I think it's just really hard with the ban of Russia participating. Like, I think that it's hard to take that out of the equation for me. And
it's also hard because it's the same thing that I talked to you and Danny about with fucking Ilya Malinin, who is very much an American guy, that it all works until you go into the Slavic portion of the internet where everyone's like, there she is, our girl, молодец! Like, she's doing it and she's proving everyone. And it's like, masks off, I guess? Fuck Kazakhstan? Like, it really, really works up until a bunch of fans of Russian figure skating start treating her as if the flag is a formality. Which I guess they have to, because they don't get to have their fucking flag anywhere. But yeah. Because we do have precedent with little Kazakh women and training under Russia and all of that. I hope Elizaveta Turisimbayeva is having a great day, and I frankly miss her, even though
she's
living
her best life on Instagram. As far as I can tell, yeah, she's having a great life.
Yeah, I hope her back too is fine and everything. That being said, she was actually, you know, we're not gonna get into former USSR republics and everything and who's allowed to be skating under which flag and all of that. That being said, Sofia would have been so much easier to enjoy if she wasn't forcing me to, one, listen to Andrew Lloyd Webber, two, yeah, have it be Sunset Boulevard of all things, and three, have it be the current, well, not current, but the recent Broadway cast recording, meaning she's making me listen to Nicole Scherzinger, which is making me remember that bitch won a Tony over Audra McDonald and Gypsy.
Yeah, it's really all kind of coming
together. So there's like just so much happening.
There's layers to that.
It's literally created in a lab for me to be pissed off.
Did you see the Parsons and Green Sunset Boulevard gala?
I do love that, though.
I do love that, too. I do love that. I wanted to ask you about it. The way that she stays in character through the whole bow, like, takes me out. I love it.
I do love that. It cracks me up, and I respect it. And I think that's camp, and I think camp is good. Mm-hmm. And also, I like them very much, so they're allowed to test my patience, which is different. Also, not a thing we allegedly talk about on this podcast. But yeah, in terms of Sofia, I would have had more strong feelings if she had remained in the conversation for the final and stuff, because she could have. But that's not happening now. I do want to say it sucks that it's for, like, bureaucratic visa reasons. Like, yeah, I don't personally like her, and I don't, like, really care, but it feels unfair that at this level of, like, sport, bureaucracy can, like, impede on your career and, like, your season and all of that. And I think it's weird that that's a thing that high-level athletes have to deal with on top of everything else that they have to manage in their lives.
It doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem in the spirit of sport, and it seems contradictory to the Olympic spirit if we once every 4 years or whatever, we put aside these things that are keeping us, you know, separated, and we literally just try and do sports with each other. And it's like, why do we do that if then, like, the other 3 years plus out of that cycle,
the other, like,
it's like, you're not allowed in our country.
Up until a month before that, we're still like, oh, well, you didn't know that was happening until, like, a week before you had to be there. Well, sorry, we can't, like, rush process a piece of fucking paper to go in your passport. Like, it's bullshit, and it's not fair, and I would have been just as upset if it was happening to any other athlete of any other nation, just because I know how stressful and upsetting visa processes can be. And that shit stays with you and is unpleasant, and I hope the rest of her season continues without more shit like that.
Yeah, personal feelings of what, like, alleged, I don't know personally where I would place the, like, MAGA hat incident on my litmus test of, like, does this make me actually think this person is like a reprehensible human being? Like, I truly don't know. But, like,
yeah.
I do think that, I think there are, for many reasons, there is like impetus for me to kind of be like, boo. And the tension I feel with her is that watching her skating, I would stand normally. She has what Danny was saying, that like sort of aggressive attack feel. Yeah. She's got that, like, she's like a Raf girl. She, you know, she skates like a Raf girl. And
which we usually love.
And so I don't really have a big problem with, and I think you were right, because she was not crazy overscored in the way that we might expect. I guess I just was like, yeah, sure, this would be like a fun person to have in the mix. It reminded me of the way that Russia was like pre-Atari, like,
yeah,
I don't know, like a Lisa Tuktimisheva type character, yeah, who's like, you know what I mean? Like, it just kind of reminded me of that vibe, which is fine, you know? So I'm not sure. I guess none of this is like interesting or groundbreaking, but I'm torn on her and I want to see more, and I want to see like how things play out.
Yeah, yeah. I'm happy to continue giving her the benefit of the doubt. I am pleased for myself personally that she is not in very much now in the conversation for like the final and stuff. I, however, do wish that had happened to her differently, because yeah, she was called into Finlandia as a replacement. So it was like this brief moment of, at first she wouldn't have ever like been in that final conversation, and then she won a medal at an event, and two, got called in for a second one. So it's like, I can't imagine, like, I have so much sympathy for like what that must have been like for her, from going from like, oh yeah, I'm just doing this one, to oh my god, this could be the year it like works out, to like, never mind, there's like a piece of fucking paper that can't.
Yeah, because when you're only given the one assignment, I have to imagine that the pipe dream is like, I'm going to kill it so bad at this that they're going to be forced to give me a second one.
Yeah.
And then to actually achieve that and then not, like, that sucks.
Yeah, so I have like very, like, I have a lot of sympathy, but yeah, we'll see her. We'll see her more this season, so
yeah,
I'm sure we get
thing
to talk about her more. We're being slow here, even though we have to talk about so many things. Because what the fuck is there to say about Kaori Sakamoto, who won home gold in her very, very last ever Grand Prix event aside from the final? It's the picture perfect like end of that chapter, I think, for me, is winning this and winning at home and clearly being way more comfortable than she was in her previous assignment, and like it all just like comes together in a way that's, it just works, and I'm so excited to be so emotional for the rest of her season.
I know. I think, sidebar, I think it was NHK that I watched the gala for, because now I'm remembering that I was watching the parts where they were interviewing her and, like, all the Japanese skaters, and they were, I actually understood some of it, and I was, like, so unbelievably floored. They were, like, talking about TV shows and stuff, because, I mean, it's NHK. And a lot of them were saying they don't really have time to watch TV, which was fun.
Well, yes.
But, and there was, oh, and then I was so proud of myself, because I was picking up words here and there, and mm-hmm, I picked up the word kipu, which is ticket, and I was like,
oh, wow.
I bet she's saying she's gonna earn her ticket to the Olympics, and then they translated it and that's what she said, and I was like, yeah,
oh my god. I think we got that little interview like as a little bit like during commercial breaks on Eurosport, because I was watching some of it on some of the events on Eurosport, like I've mentioned, and I think we got that one because I remember like in real time listening to the Bulgarian translation of her talking about how she needs to earn her ticket.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting that that translates literally, and that's also the exact way they say it in Japanese. I didn't know that. It was interesting to me that, you know how in all language classes they make you learn about transit first in case you go, and so you can get on the metro or whatever? And I'm sitting here thinking, like, I'm probably never going to go to Japan. Why do I need to know how to get on the metro there? I will never need to know this word.
Well, but now you know tickets about.
10 plus years later, I knew what she was saying 4 seconds before they translated it in English. So thank you, Professor Wilkner and Yasuhara, for teaching me that word.
Wow.
We are feeling like we want to keep talking about women, and we're going to talk about women in Skate America. Yeah, we're going to talk about the women in Skate America. We're going to do something, like, crazy and different because we can.
Oh my god!
An unusual episode. So let's
do it. Yeah, it's kind of like one of those where it's lopsided anyway, so we might as well. Here's what happened at Skate America. A lot happened, and it was kind of wild. And let's...
Yes. Can I make a suggestion? I almost feel like the noteworthy part of the podium at Skate America wasn't necessarily, like, each individual podium person. It was more like the order of it was bananas, and it needs to be examined holistically.
Wow. Yeah. The word holistically terrifies me every time because I'm like, what does that mean in any context ever? Like, it's one of those words. Before we even begin, Skate America took place in Lake Placid, which I know people had complaints about because it was cold and dark and so far away from everything. I do like when things are in Lake Placid because it feels so, like, quintessentially figure skating. I don't know if that makes any sense.
I agree. And as somebody who just sort of left a place that is very cold and dark and cozy and winter sportsy, that I lived there for a while, I was a little bit like, no, you don't get it. Like, there is a charm to it. There's a time and a place for certain things. And that's the kind of shit that belongs there.
I think it was Maddie Chalk and her like post after Lake Placid, where she was like, after Skate America, where she was like, it's great to compete in a place that feels like a Hallmark movie. And I'm like, that's so cute.
Yes.
Yeah. But in terms of skating, it was kind of a weird one. It was kind of a weird one. It was kind of a shaky one. Many things happened. But let's talk about women. Talk me through it holistically.
Holistically, I think that the general consensus was that the people's podium would have been Lara Naki Goodman in bronze.
Yes.
And then Alyssa Liu in silver and Rinka Watanabe in gold.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that would have been...
That would have been, like, the people's podium. However, Lara Naki Goodman did not end up on the podium, despite having, like, the performance of her life. Anastasia Gubanova got on the podium. She is in
despite wearing bronze. A bindi and being a white woman, which we've already talked about. So, like, whatever. It happened. There is not much else I have to say about it.
She did really well. I do think she was overscored in a way that, you know, got her...
She was fourth in the short, second in the free. I am also sick of Ghost, and I said that while we were chatting about it, while it was happening, but this is the only time I have ever been mad to hear Cassie Levy's beautiful, beautiful voice in my life. Hi, welcome. I have so many musical theater opinions. I have seen Cassie Levy on two continents in like three different shows. She is so important to me. Four? I've seen her in a bunch of shit. She is so important to me. That being said, Ghost is not a great piece of theater, and the score is kind of
with my heart.
It's so nothing, and I don't care for it. And I do love the kiss. I do love the kiss on the back of her dress. I think it's crazy and funny. I don't think it's meant to be funny, but it does tickle me.
It's kind of funny. Yeah, I don't really like it, but if you view it like a funny thing, then
I think it's inventive. Like, at this point, I'll take any invention. Which shout out to Lara and her shark fin, shark tail eyeliner, like shit like that just tickles me. I enjoy it.
Absolutely. So I don't really know what else to say about Ivanova. She's not my favorite. She's neutral to me.
Yeah, same. Did you see? I think it was Nikolai Mamala who posted that him and Corey Cercelli and Corey Cercelli and Lara were like swimming in the hotel after the event was finished, and his caption was like, oh no, the sharks are taking over or something, which I found so funny.
That is so cute. I love that. I honestly think that if I was gonna like weird implications of me being 35 years old aside, if I was gonna party with one team, I think Team Italy would be so much fun.
Team Italy sounds like they would be a party. Yes, I agree. Aside from, like, obviously, I would never party with any of them because they're
too young. Like, but if I was their age, like, wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, no, it did seem like a great time. Anyway, and then Rinka ended up in silver, and she was first in the short and then third in the free. And that's how
a lot of calls were happening. And it was a very strict panel in a Grand Prix event that in a Grand Prix series that on the whole, the panel has been really inconsistent and in a lot of cases just totally turning a blind eye to some shit. So that was really frustrating that so much got downgraded and so much got called when that has not been the case across the board.
Yeah,
that was frustrating to see, and it just didn't sit right. But I don't know. I've been kind of watching the sport particularly the women's, for the past few years, with this idea of like edge calls and rotational calls are all kind of like, we're just gonna, it's a feeling. It's not so much something we actually give a shit about as judges. But now sometimes they decide they do, and that's weird.
Sometimes they decide they do, and not to make it about my questionable career as an adult skater, but my God, when you have a coach who has decided they care when you're, again, 32 years old and competing with maybe like two other people in a category, and there isn't much to say about it, I get called out on my edges going into my loops. Which I don't think anyone's ever gotten an edge call on a loop in the history of ever. But my God, they do like calling that shit out. It is a thing that apparently, if it's your job to care, people care.
Yeah, it just felt rough because it was like Rinka's coming into this with an outside shot of maybe qualifying for the final. She has to get silver. And in order to get silver, she has to land all of these batshit combos, just a bajillion triple axles, triple toe, like all these things that were like, she hasn't even been doing that great the past couple seasons. Now she's going to come in and do harder shit than everybody else. Like, please, that's a pipe dream. And then she comes in and she does it. And it's like, oh my God, she really delivered. How often do we get to see that in this sport, of somebody needing to deliver and then really delivering when it mattered most? And it almost felt like the judges were like, no, you don't get to have that.
Like, yeah. I've been kind of contemplating the queue, the quarter, because I feel like it's only deployed. It's obviously like an obvious under rotation. I'm like, yeah, fucking downgraded. Like, if it's something that you can see on a replay and like be sure about completely. But I feel like when it's within that final, in Bulgarian, they do call it the 15 minutes. Like, we don't just call it a quarter. It's fully, like, if it's within the final 15 minutes.
Oh, my God, that's cute. You know,
the circle. Because
it's a clock, right?
Yeah, because it's a clock. And also because, like, we do have the word for quarter. But, like, if you say, oh, it's quarter to five, that's, like, a little fancier. Like, very few people do that. So we usually say it's, like, six without 15 for like how you tell the time. So I think that's
which is not fancy,
which is like whatever, it's how math works, how clocks work. But yeah, I think that is so much more subjective, and also it's so much more literally the angle at which you're sitting could change that perception from like, oh, she was only fucking 14 minutes or like 13 minutes late to the fucking full rotation, or like early, I guess, to the full rotation. I think it's very hard to call and be fair about. And I don't know how I feel about that, because we do see it deployed whenever it can be used for something.
Yeah. And you know, this in the midst of, oh, well, we're going to have, like, AI judging now. Like, fuck that. People can't even do it. You want to give it to robots who don't have brains? Forget it.
It's so funny because that sounds, like, so advanced and, like, whatever. It does sound like they just want to do a beefed up version of the iScope. However, I do not think that would function in a way that would be so, so, so funny if they tried it once, that I don't think we're seeing that. And I'm happy to, like, eat my words if the next Olympic cycle we're all grokked up or whatever. But as of right now, I do not think it's feasible.
Meanwhile, the computer system goes down at Skate America and we're doing paper and pencil. Which, and that's the one we have now that we've been using. Yeah,
so. Which apparently, like, it's been happening a bunch in, like, different events, and, like, a lot of shit has been going down in terms of computer systems and stuff. Did you see the thing? I retweeted it on Podmain from, like, I think a basketball game. Yeah, it was basketball, where they, you know how they do, like, after game statistics for things?
Yeah.
And the after game statistics thing, like, the statistics thing was down. So whoever was running the, like, banner on TV just for this one player just types, stats are down, but he played great.
Real.
I it is on our, you can see it on Twitter for the full context. It is just really funny. But that's apparently a thing that's been happening, which sucks. But yeah, I don't think robots are taking over. I do think that was unfair for Renka. That being said, Alyssa won, and she won Skate America, which is her home Grand Prix. And we like seeing that. It is very funny when in her winner interview, she's like, I have no idea how that happened because I had other rotations. I respect her so much because she gives zero shit. She gives so little shit. I mean, I know she obviously cares very much. We see her like be visibly moved about her skating, but she, I think, doesn't have like the politicking brain sometimes. And I respect that so much. But she's clearly having just such a fucking good time. And that matters to me more than being like, yeah, I just like really wanted to work hard and like show my best and like whatever. I respect a bitch who's like, I have no idea what just happened, but yay.
Yeah, it was really interesting to see her after the short be really disappointed with herself. And like, yeah. I think she, for I guess, was it the loop that in the combo that didn't quite go as well as she wanted. But I think later she could have like passed it off like, oh, I was just really moved by the song. And like, maybe that's true. I think she does get really moved by the song, which is fair because it's emotional and really does like fit her story really well. I was just sort of like, interesting.
Yeah, I guess we're getting her back into like being the competitor, right?
Yeah, like I was wondering if and when we would see a side of Alyssa like post-return where she does show that like...
Yeah, I mean, she's like, oh my God, yeah, it's just vibes. And like, I just happen to be doing incredible and all of that. And now it's like, oh, it's so fucking real. And we're like 2 months away from the Olympics. And now it's like, this does matter. And again, like, I don't think she's been like nonchalant about it or anything. But I do think it's been so personal. And now I feel like we're getting back to, oh, this is also about athletics and winning and numbers and stuff.
I really get the feeling that she is still skating for herself.
Oh,
and that
obviously,
she's competing against herself. And so, like, it's interesting to see what gets her riled up. And it feels like what gets her riled up is her not doing what she knows she can do.
Yeah.
And that's what seems to get to a lot of them. And I can relate to that in other ways. Like, knowing that you're not doing your best when you're like, oh, my God, I did that a million times in practice, you know?
Yeah. Especially, like, when it's something that you know you – like, if it's not, like, your Hail Mary element, but it's something that should be – it's the thing that, like, I think it's Chris out of all of the commentators who always, like, will say, like, oh, he must have done it a billion times in practice.
Yeah.
And this is, like, the one time it doesn't work.
Yeah, no.
Like, that must be so frustrating.
Yeah. I've been thinking about this a lot in, like, a bigger sense just for, like, reasons. The idea of, like, how we always just say, like, just do your best and, like, all you can do is your best. But how your best on any given day is such a moving target. And for some people more than others. And it has a lot to do with things that are out of your control.
Oh, for sure.
And for a moving target, you never know where it is. And so on any given day, you can say, I'm going to try my best. But I don't know what that is until it happens. And then afterwards, all I can say is, like, was that my best? Or could I have done better? And so that's why being a person who's, you can say, oh, I'm a person who my goal is to just do my best. Why that can lead to U.S. actually being really hard on yourself, even though on the surface it seems like a really like soft, easy on yourself, like healthy self-care kind of attitude to have if you're
holistic even
but God forbid. But no, but you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah absolutely. I have found that for myself like quite a lot because I'm a perfectionist and I struggle like I said earlier, I struggle very much with if something will not go perfect, I might as well not try and do it, like, ever. I have found that, for example, with the direct parallel, like, skating. I obviously will never skate as good as any of those people. But even then, at my baby level, I have practices where everything clicks. And it's just, it's working. And, like, it just makes sense. And I'm like, holy shit, this is progress. It's, like, finally happening. And then I'll go in the next day. Same commute, same morning coffee, like everything's the exact same and it just doesn't work. And then at my big, big age, I've learned to be like, well, I got up, I came, I spent an hour doing the thing, even when it got like weird and hard, and that's the win today. But that's so hard to learn. And I still have days where I'm like, well, I could have stayed in bed instead of doing the hour commute. Like, who gives a shit? And then I'm like, no, this is what mattered. It was that you did, like, show up to do the work. But yeah, it's a thing that, wow, I sound so therapized. Takes a very long time.
That's so real. Yeah, that's why I brought it up, because like I've been thinking about it for myself. I was talking with my mom, and she was sort of, having this like deep conversation. We were talking about whether she thought that she and her and my dad put too much pressure on me growing up. And I was like, honestly, no. Like, I feel like I put a lot of pressure on myself, because yeah. I knew that on my best days I was capable of a lot. But my best days were not most of the time. And yeah. So when I was hard on myself, it wasn't because I was like, oh, I'm not good enough for mom and dad, or like, I'm not perfect. It was just because I felt like I wasn't living up to my best days. Yeah. And yeah, I felt like real. I should have been able to every single day. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of days when maybe if you like completely ruined every other aspect of the rest of your day, you could get there. But like, at what cost? At, you know, your mental health?
I feel like we can do like a whole other thing about like,
we totally could,
gifted
yeah.
children, and like, which is a thing yeah. I do not believe in, for the record.
No, I believe in like neurodivergence.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I learned how to read when I was 3 years old, and where does that get me? It gets me to asking you if you want to talk about men real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. It gets you to our podcast. Anyway, but we love Alyssa, and we're happy yeah. for her, and so she's probably going to the final. I think she is going to the final now.
She
for
is.
Sure.
Yeah, she is.
She is.
So we'll see her again, and we'll talk about it some more. Okay, hop on a plane. We're going back from Lake Placid, back to NHK, so we can talk about some men real quick.
Okay, I'm going to get some sleep on the plane, because I'm going to be so...
We're so jet-lagged. We're, getting the experience. We're getting the experience. We're, like, real skaters now.
Wait, can I just say something? I was trying to remember the word for jet-lagged, but I couldn't, and all I could think of was hungover, but with planes. And so
I am so plane over.
My brain gave me laid over, which is, like, a different thing.
Laid over. Wow, that's something.
Yeah. Anyway, men.
Men in Japan, the king of Europe, the current reigning king of Europe, Lukas Brečki, ended up in third with, and there is no surprises here, the men in this, I'm going to say it once and it's going to be true for both of those events, the men did what men do, there was movement, it was weird. He was fifth in the short, he was third in the free, the math worked out as such that he ended up on the podium in bronze. And I continue to have such a time with Lukas Brečki, who I love very much. Because I do think he is good vibes. I like his skating. And I think he's so well-intentioned.
Yeah.
And then it's epic Middle East female vocal trailer.
Yeah. I think that Adam Solia has a really loose grasp of, like, what is... good for him,
yeah.
Like, and that's maybe like a dangerous combination with somebody like Lukas, who's just so barely holding it all together with his amazing intentions.
He that is we're all a just citizen like, yeah, of yeah, the yeah. world. He does not see color or ethnicity or gender or anything. He's a child of Mother Nature, and he will do anything to feel, you know? It's
like,
very that.
He really does remind me of, like, on So You Think You Can Dance, like, when they would be, like, a white guy who would get assigned Bollywood, and they'd be like, he can't do that. And then he'd come out and do it, and everyone would be like, whoa, he did that! and everyone was just happy about it.
You know that you've just manifested Bollywood for Lukas for next year, right?
I feel like the flavor of his free skate is... giving like Middle East vague in a way that is sonically, musically a little more Bollywood than like shakuhachi flutes. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I do know what you mean, but I want him next year in full, like, is it still called a bindi when it's on a man? I don't know. And it's. That's
you want him
on
dressed
me.
Up like Pyotr the Cat?
Yes,
like
I want
so
him
decent.
Fully. I want him. Yes, I want him so decent. God, I envy people who are not online enough to get the reference. But yeah, I like him. He is charming to me. I am happy that he got to be on this podium, and I wish he would stop challenging me.
I love the Kaleo. I think that's great.
Oh, I always love a Kaleo. Like, you can't go wrong with a Kaleo on ice for me personally.
What about silver? Shun Sato.
Shun Sato. The madness of the depth of the Japanese field, but also the questionableness of what the hell is happening with men, Japanese men, continues to happen. He was second in the short with just under 2 points under Yuma. And then he was first in the free by again, under a full point or something. So this, I feel, was really interesting as an event because of the parallel between Shun and Yuma here, because they felt very evenly matched, which I felt was so interesting.
Yes, and this was giving me such flashbacks to, I want to say, 2019, 2020-ish, when they were, just coming out of juniors, yeah. And people who don't really follow juniors were just kind of, like me, were just kind of becoming aware of who they yeah. were. They were always kind of presented as, a package deal.
Yeah.
These are these two guys, and they're so good, and they're, about the same, and who's going to do it? And then, of course, they had such wildly different trajectories.
Yeah.
And now to see them, it's, full circle.
Converging again? Yeah. It's so interesting.
Shun, you know, is there a polite way to say Shun stepped his pussy up? Because he did.
He had decided that this is his best on this day, is showing up and, it's a good, good day. This is what it looks like. And I love that so much. It gets me so excited.
He got me excited about programs that I, Ladies in Lavender, I think I have probably described as, a little bland.
Yeah.
He got me excited about Ladies in Lavender. Fantastic. It's so, just...
I have never met a Firebird I haven't fucked with. In terms of vibes, I would never actually touch a Firebird. That sounds dangerous.
I don't think that's real, though, so I think that's fine.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. What if I meet one? What if I step into a weird forest and there is a Firebird and it talks to me about the ashes and it's all, full circle?
Luna Hendrix will help you. She knows some of these things. Anyway, it was one of those performances where, much like Rinka, he needed to step up and he did. And yeah. It was nice to see, at least in the men's field, that was rewarded. And for a skater who you see so frequently, try his absolute hardest and you're rooting for him and then it just doesn't go his way, just to see it go his way finally is oh my God, finally, yes, thank yeah. you.
I completely agree with that.
And I'm sure he probably felt the same.
Yeah. And also, I feel because they've been a package deal with him and Yuma for such a long time, there's, such a lovely, brotherly rivalry happening. I think it was in Yuma's, winner interview where he was this was really great and I'm really happy to have won and I also, need to continue beating Shun. Yeah, no, so it's just, it's really charming and it doesn't feel he was, a point away from gold or, any of that. It feels they're so evenly matched in this. Must have felt good for both of them in different ways, you know?
And speaking of his friend, Shun Sato and friend, gold medalist, Yuma Kageyama.
Literal, actual Olympic medalist and gold medalist here, but also Shun Sato's friend, Yuma Kageyama. Yes. We've talked about this package. The Christopher Tin special it feels special, right? Turandot, always great. I will always, enjoy that. Something about knowing that this, entire program was, crafted towards this one moment that we're building up to is, I don't know, it gets me excited. It gets me excited. And obviously, we don't know how this is going to shake out because he hasn't skated his second Grand Prix yet. But it's building in a way that feels, you know?
Yeah. I will always feel like I personally discovered Christopher Tin, even though that is simply not true, but it was just because I liked his work on the Civilization Games, and then
he was playing in a piano at a mall, and you were like, oh my God.
And I was like, this guy, he's got chops. No, I just was really into the Civilization Games, and I loved the music, and I knew he composed the music because I liked it, and then figure skaters discovered him, and I was like, oh yes, welcome. But I love this, and I just, I want to talk for just a second, mm-hmm. about the thematic perfection mm-hmm. of the two men who are vying for gold at the Olympics and everything yes. they stand for and everything they represent. And one of them is skating to one of the greatest composers of all time, whose music is then being resurrected and then finished and then re-recorded by a Philharmonic orchestra, all solely for him, with so much great care and like attention to detail. And it's like such an honor and blah, blah, blah. And then the other skater is like, I'm going to write something that doesn't make sense at all, and then I'm going to record it, and it's going to be about me.
Yeah.
That's crazy. You couldn't make that shit up. That's some Yuri on Ice level. Like, okay.
Yep. Yep. It's... Sometimes the world, the universe, powers that be, whatever you believe in, have a way of just crafting the story. It just works. Like, I know the cliche is like, oh, if you gave it to a writer's room, they'd be like, this is a little too on the nose, or like whatever. Like, people say that about like current events or jokes or things. I love when sports feels like I'm watching a movie. Like,
yes,
you know,
yes.
Something about the drama just like gets me.
And I would go so far as to say that if there is a writer's room in heaven or the galaxy or wherever you believe things are happening, I do think that they are sending the slightly more on the nose, maybe like the Ryan's Murphy of
Ryan's Murphy.
They are sending them to figure skating, and I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, no, as a known enjoyer of many Ryan's Murphys,
Ryan's's. That sounds like
Ryan's's.
Gay Gollum, my Ryan's's Murphy. It's my new character. Do you like Gay Gollum? He's really into that new show with Kim Kardashian.
Let's talk about America. Let's keep talking about Japanese men.
What about Gay Gollum? He's not American to you.
Anyway. No, well, we gotta talk about Gay Gollum, so we gotta get to Kevin Amos. Let's keep going.
Yeah, we do. But first of all, I want to apologize to Yuma, because when I first heard he was doing Stevie Wonder, I think it is actually caught in 4K of me being I don't know that song. And then I listened and I'm like, oh, duh, yeah, I do. But like, I just didn't know what it was called. Okay. So then I was like, I'm so excited he's doing something different. And then he revealed that it was a classical guitar cover. And I'm like, Yuma, we've talked about this. We've talked about you stopping fucking skating to elevator music. Stop it. But having seen it now a couple times, kind of fucks. So I apologize, yeah. Yuma. I should have let you cook. I like what you're doing.
He did. He ended up cooking. And I am very, very happy about that. Do you want to talk about someone who... cooked, question mark, and then kind of burnt the cooking? Skate America Men was batshit, and men did things that no one could have ever predicted, even in our wildest dreams. You can ask my fantasy skating scores, my god. Kazuki Tomono was first after the short, and you say, great, that's awesome, congrats. He was eighth in the free, and then ended up on the podium.
And it's the self-awareness of this king. He goes to the short program conference, the press conference, and he's like, last time I was in the short first after the short, I really tanked the free. And I know that about myself, so I'm not going to do it again. And then he fucking did it. That's like, yeah, man, like, we've all done that.
I feel like he inceptioned himself. I feel like he...
I just watched Inception, and he absolutely did. Did you know that? I just rewatched Inception for the first time in 15 years.
Oh, yeah. Great movie. Have I told you about my Inception story?
No. What's your Inception? Somebody incepted you?
I am not sure. So I went to see Inception when it came out a billion years ago.
Yeah, me too. I remember. That was the last time I saw it.
With my friends, Dev and Nikki, and we went to the mall near our high school where we always went to see movies.
I saw it at the mall near my high school. This is already
We went on like a Thursday afternoon after musical rehearsal, because Thursdays were like cheap theater tickets for students. And we go in and we see Inception, and it's like, holy shit, this is a film. Oh, this is cinema. This is peak performance. And then at the same, it's the third floor of the mall, and there's the food court, the cinema, and also like a playground. It was called a playground. It's like an arcade with a bowling alley in it. Grateful.
Shut the fuck up. The third floor of my mall is food court, movie theater, and Dave & Buster's.
Hell yes.
I'm so scared.
Exact same vibe. So we go to the bowling alley, which we were really into bowling for like a minute there. I don't know. And we go. So first you have to walk towards like you have to walk through like the weird back room, like hallways of the mall to get out of the cinema, right? And then we go to the thing. And then I go to bowl the bowl and the bowling. And I remember watching that ball roll towards the pins and roll towards the pins and roll towards the pins. And I do not remember it hitting. And I feel like I might still be asleep.
Could you like try harder to have better dreams maybe? Because it's fuck. Really bad in here.
I get really into Inception, but I also get really into lucid dreaming. So I just start controlling the world. Is that where we're at?
Yeah, I meanwhile got sucked into Tenet, and so I'm just backwards, and that's why I don't understand anything ever.
It's not Estonian.
Oh. It's not Estonian, it's backwards.
Evelotta Kibos declaring her retirement. It's not Estonian, it's backwards.
The best line of dialogue in any movie. Anyway, it's...
So Kazuki, not Estonian, backwards, ends up doing that.
He's been doing... He's, you know, I think his previous placement, he was kind of accused of being like massively overscored, which like maybe not. I'm not mad at it per se, but you know, for him to place first in the short again, I was like, Jesus. I mean, I love the Sophie Tucker short program so much. Like, it's so good. And I've always loved him. So I'm like, yeah we're here for this.
I will also never complain about this ever. But the way we got here was funny. We got in second place, Misha Shadarov, who as of right now, I think, is final contention?
Yeah, I think he's in. He's in.
I think he's in.
Because as of the beginning of that event, the question was mostly whether it would be him or Jason, and then Jason didn't do as well, and Misha did quite well. And then also, like, some people that I was thinking were, like, a definite did less well, but I don't know. So, he's definitively in. And I can't stop thinking about something that Jackie Wong said, which was that this music feels overwhelming for him. And I think that that's exactly right, because I wouldn't have put it that way, but I think you're right. I think that the Fifth Element music is overwhelming for him.
Yeah. Now that I've heard you say that, because I missed Jackie saying that, because he says a lot of
things. I hope it was Jackie.
I tried to keep up, but I like didn't see / hear that. I want to go back and rewatch that free skate with that in mind now, because that's fascinating. I will say he won the free. He was third in the short, first in the free, and that's how we ended up with silver, and that's how we ended up with the ticket to the final. And because you mentioned Jason, like, the interesting thing here is that he was third in the free. Like, they kind of traded off little third spots. But Jason's short was shaky and all of that. But whatever. We're going to talk about him on Patreon. But, yeah. I think we're just used to seeing a different version of what Misha does. And that's why it feels like that. But I don't know. I mean, we're going to get to see it very, very soon, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think he just needs to rise to it somehow.
Commit more, commit harder.
Yeah, like a more of a sophistication in the execution of the choreography. Something to make it seem like he's wearing the music and the music's not wearing him.
Also, at this point, there was a moment there where it was like, oh my God, he's doing really well. And that's like so surprising. And like all of that in terms of, you know. Last season, functionally last season, was the moment when we were like, oh my God, like, where did he come from? Like, it's getting so good. And at this point, he's like established himself as someone who's in the conversation. And I feel like kind of like the wide-eyed, oh my God, this is working out. Like, I'm skating so good. What's happening? Thing. He needs to own it more.
Yes.
There is a fine line. Like, sometimes I'm like, oh my God, get over yourself with some skaters. But I feel like at this point it can be, oh, I woke up in a magical fairy. Let me skate good. Oh my God, it's happening. We have to be completely undeniable, because a lot of people are showing up with a lot of like very high claims. And if your music is that big and your promise is that big, you might as well, like, commit to it.
Yeah, and I think that, to your point, there's certain level of, like, when you're that surprised, like, dark horse, there's, like, oh, this person is, like, kind of scrappy and rough around the edges, and that's, like, part of the charm. And then yeah. if you're going to stick around, you do need to, like, soften down the edges a little bit, you know? Yep. So I think he's at that stage of, like, it can't be as, like, rough. It's a roughness that I think other skaters get away with, and so I don't think it's fair yeah. that he...
he's getting the commentary? Yeah.
Yeah, but I think if he wants to step it up and be, you know, just based on the standards that he's going to be held to, I think yeah. he needs to, like, push the program components a little bit more in a way that maybe before it was like, oh, he's like a kid who's just, like, getting there by the seat of his pants, and now it's like, okay, like, let's see what you can do, you know?
Yeah, agreed. Speaking of someone who's gotten away with so much and continues to surprise, Kevin Amoz, a French man who only skates good in America for some reason, was second in the short and second in the free, and the math be mathed itself such that he finally got his very first Grand Prix gold, which matters very little because he can't go to the final or anything. But he was very, very emotional about it, and it was like a whole deal. And I continue to have very, how am I going to say that? I continue to have very nuanced thoughts about him because, yes, he, you know, he has committed to his coaching team of garbage people from hell, and we know he has had transgressions in the past. But he is also one of the very few, like, very high-level athletes who continuously shows up, not just for LGBTQ plus I plus people in general, but specifically for trans people, specifically for trans athletes. And I had to bring that up because I do want to give him his flowers. And, like, it's not... I'm not going to be like, oh, yes, King, we forgive you everything you've ever done. And you're like my unproblematic, like, self-blurable, whatever. But I do appreciate that he is aware of how he is capable of creating viral moments. He's aware that anytime he's hyper-emotional in the kiss and cry, regardless of whether he's happy or sad, it will be a thing. And people will flock to his Instagram to see him, like, repost all of that shit, and in between that he will, like, sneak in some social justice bullshit, some stuff about trans people, and I respect that very, very much, and I just had to get that out of the way.
Agreed. No, I totally agree with you. I think I loved that there was just straight up a trans flag being waved while yeah. he was bowing. I don't see that very often, and it made me feel so happy.
I do want to shout out the people at Skate America who organized to do that, like, mini protest, because USFS and, like, the powers that be have been doing stupid things about wanting to ban all 7 of the trans athletes who compete in figure skating and, like, doing the whole thing, which I'm not gonna get into it right now. It's bullshit, and you're just transphobic and boring if you think it's anything but. I had my opinions on Twitter. Like, I very much was mad about it on Twitter, but I do want to shout out everyone who was involved with organizing the, like, trans representation at Skate America for, you know, all of our trans siblings who I'm sure it means so much to see that support. And I think it's meta as fuck that Kevin has established himself as one of the athletes who would be comfortable aligning himself with that cause and being, like, brought in by the flags being held up while he's performing slash at the end of his, like, big moment of his ovations. And I think it'd be disingenuous to, like, chat about his actual skating or something without mentioning that, because yes, I've, like, I mean, it is that he's done questionable shit and I don't always like him, but I respect that very, very, very much.
Yeah, 100%. First of all, yes, I want to echo everything you said. I want to say this. This is me speaking as me. And yay, we can cut this if you don't like it. No, I cannot. I have no control over who listens to this podcast. Mm-hmm. But if you're listening and you don't support full trans inclusion and trans rights and participation and welcoming and full everything, this is not for you. it's not for you. And you can, know that if you're chuckling at something I said and you think I'm funny, it's not for you. And I don't want you to laugh and I'm not talking to you. Because but like, just like, get the, like, my skating community is full of trans people and you need to leave.
I completely that. Any podcast I listen to, it's the complete cliche of would I grab a beer with the host of this? And I want you to know right now that if for a second of a moment of your life, you've questioned the validity of trans folks or their belonging in sports and in the world and in bathrooms or like wherever the fuck in your local 7-Eleven, you're not welcome here. I would not have a beer with you. And you're welcome to review Bombasso all you want. And
have questioned it. You just have to come out the other side having learned the truth.
Yeah.
They are welcome everywhere.
Yeah. If for a second you're like, oh, this is my first day on Earth. What is a trans person? And then you figure it out and you're like, oh, that's fine. Sure. Let's grab an IPA and talk about it. If you have.
I mean, yeah. If you we're getting too far into it, but yeah.
Yeah, no. Because when I was getting into it on Twitter, there were people who were like, oh, yeah, but, like, let's just make them, like, their own category. And, like, what about the children? What am I going to tell the children? Leave. There's smarter people on the internet who will debate you. The fact that we're wasting airtime right now is embarrassing already. That being said, trans rights, this has been 2 entire events, and I think we've run out of things to say about them. Do you want to run me through plushies? Do we have plushies?
Yeah, plushies were okay. So plushies were strange, fitting the theme of this episode. Plushies were strange. For NHK, it was like mostly roses, which was like fine, but there was also
it felt like they were selling them at the arena,
probably. And there was a lot of as always of Domo-kun and his friends who we've talked about at length. And their lore, I forget, but I remember it being fun.
Yeah.
And then at Skate America, there was, first of all, a Dino Nugget plushie that Liam Kapakis got that blew my fucking mind. And that was that was really notable. But for the most part, the overwhelming theme was that people kept getting little Poland ball things of their countries.
Yeah.
And I was like, what year is it? Is that still a thing? What is, like, do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know about this?
Yeah. But I don't know. What is that?
I have no idea. I really, really thought, I mean, let me just look this up. I really thought, if you had asked me, that this was something that was popular in, like, 2012 with, like, Rage Comic, Reddit, questionable people. Mm-hmm. Right? Country balls. Okay, country balls, also known as Poland ball. It's an internet meme.
Mm-hmm.
And it's predominantly used in comic strips where countries or political entities are personified as anthropomorphic balls with eyes decorated with national flags. And for me personally, I'm like, I don't see how that could be anything other than, like, really reductive. you know, it could be, oh, yeah, the political incorrectness, black comedy, yeah, just kind of like, dog whistles for like
edgy
like whatever. It was an era of the internet where it just the mainstream humor was a little different, and I just am so confused that it's enough of a thing now, like over 10 years later.
Socio-historically tell you why it's a thing still, like,
okay, apparently it's a game now that came out like in like 2021, like
That's still not correct. I have no idea. Hey, if you were at that event and you...
Can you explain this to us? Like, we genuinely don't get it, but I want to.
I'm so curious. I'm, like, genuinely, like, not joking. So curious.
I'm old and I don't... And I'm really starting to get, like, really fascinated with the way that memes have drifted from when I was, like, making them in college. And I would be so curious to know the anthropology of, like, what is country balls now to the younger generation? I don't know, and I want to know, genuinely. So that's
the anthropology of the anthropology of country balls in the context of contemporary figure skating is a Sarah Lawrence conference paper. If you know, you know, this is a joke for 2 of our listeners.
And a great place to finish on that note.
And a great place to finish. Hey, if you lasted with us through this, thank you so very much. And again, my personal apologies for this being a weird episode and for us being slightly delayed with things. If you're still listening, that means that you help us and support us and help us keep the lights on so we can buy beer for trans people in the Metaphorical Studio. And that's especially true for those of you who are on Patreon, which is patreon.com/icedpod, where you can help us keep this caravan on the road. Megan, do you want to tell me a list of people who are all bringing six packs for trans people?
Yes. As we speak. All right. Those people would be Wakaba Higuchi's right toe pick, Helen, Neve, Cricket, Laura, T, Christine, Rhea, Anna, Mandolin Arts, Robin is Trans and Tired, Tracy, Josiah, Sabrina, Alina, Catherine, Margaret, Robert, Vox Machina, Samantha, Erin, Joseph, KM, Jules, and Jordan.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And for the rest of you, you're also fantastic. I will be cracking open a cold one in all of y'all's honor. And I'm also on Twitter duty for Finlandia, which is happening so very soon. We'll see you there. We'll talk about it very soon. We'll update you online about what's happening with Patreon for November. Is that everything?
I think it is.
Love you. Bye. The bowling ball keeps rolling and rolling.
And it's got the Bulgarian flag on it.
Oh, no.